Welcome to the July 2012 Message of the Month, featuring the President, Founder, and Guiding Light of Light Within, David Hulse. This month's message was recorded during the Mother's Day gathering in Carrollton, Ohio, at the Angels in the Valley Retreat Center, and this is the Saturday morning meeting, and is titled, Using Crisis as a Driver. For more information, you can contact us at Light Within, 1635 Higdon Ferry Road, Suite C246, Hot Springs, Arkansas, 71913, or call 501-622-3155. On the web, of course, at www.lightwithin.com. You can also find on the web archive webcasts of previous meetings. This is an extremely long message this month, and David will not be joining us for a special message. He did ask me to remind you to mark your calendar now for Labor Day weekend in Honesdale, Pennsylvania. Until next time, remember, your life is a gift, but your journey is a choice. Thank you for choosing to spend a part of your journey with us. We now join David and friends in Carrollton, Ohio, where the Saturday morning meeting has just begun.
We all have a story, and I think as we move from chapter to chapter, that we should not forget or let go of the past chapters, or we don't have a book. We have parts of our book that's missing, and you don't want to ever have that feeling of what's missing, because whatever is missing, basically, in your life, ego fills in with past issues. So be whole today is what I'm saying. It's a different way of talking about wholeness than we did last night. But being whole means being all of your story. All of your story. So that's one thing that Barbara gives us here that is unique to we who have come here for, we can't figure out how long, but it's been a long time, over a decade or so that we've been coming here. But we love, and that's why people drive from West Virginia and Pennsylvania and Toledo and all around. And there's several of us not even here due to illnesses and challenges and situations that are not here. But they come here for that reason, because there is a liberty and a freedom that is given us here to be our story too. But we're not all that story. Those are just some of the early chapters of our book, as we've continued to write more chapters in our book as we have moved on. Now, the speaking in tongues happened last night, and the speaking in tongues happened today. So if that just spooks you and blows you away, I'd like to just take a moment to explain a little bit to you about this. I received this experience at 16 years old. That was 50 years ago, that I experienced what's called the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I have done a lot of meditating and contemplating upon this experience. Now, I'm lifetimes from a lot of the dogma that I learned at that time, very fear-based dogma, hell, sin, all these kind of things. I certainly have moved way beyond that, as you will hear me as I speak, talk about quantum physics and talk about spirituality and science and Eastern and all the things that I've gathered in that way. But you cannot deny your experience. Your experience is your experience. That's the rock in which you build on, is your experience. So that has continued to be a part of my life, and I know the part of some of the others that I've been joined with here as we continue. What actually happens at that time, I believe, is a couple of things. Everything's very multidimensional today. There's no black and white world any longer. We live in a time of parallel universes and hyperspace and string theory, and it's just changed everything. The way that we process information is not so linear, but it's extremely in the vertical. So I can't talk in one level as an absolute any longer, so I have to kind of talk in different levels. The first level that it does is sometimes when the spirit, the creator within, your deity, God, whatever you choose to call it, wants to speak directly to the essence of people, it will bypass all the defense mechanisms that the brain has set up. That means that which you know in the language that you speak. I'm sure most of us in this room that our main language is probably English. So if we speak in English, we have downloaded, there's a part of our brain that we have stored all of the English words that we have learned and attached whatever definitions are to those words. So therefore, when we hear those words, the brain fires those past memories and attaches the emotion or the feeling that went on at the time that we learned that. So sometimes that knocks us out consciously because that is not consciousness. That's just mental calisthenics. It's just an ability to exercise the mental construct of our being in the form of beliefs, perceptions, ideals that mostly somebody else has already said and somebody else has already thought. I read one time that 98% of everything that a person thinks or says in a lifetime, somebody has already said. Somebody has already thought, and you wonder why we've not been evolving faster than we have been. It's because we keep parroting and repeating what culture's told us, what leaders have told us in our religions and politics and everything else. We've just had all this downloaded into us, into a cultural program. You know, politics is a program within the culture. Religion is a program within the culture. So education is a program within the culture. And I'll tell you, when you really have a self-thought, it's an amazing thing because it's impregnated with its ability to manifest and expand human existence. And that's why we need to sometimes unplug ourselves from the world of technology, from the world of culture, and to go into retreat, into retreat inside of ourselves where we can create the silence to begin to hear true thought, real thought. And from that, we begin to get tremendous new ideas. Entrepreneurship is born there. This is where we can collapse time, and evolution becomes conscious-driven. Evolution has been a very slow process. You say you believe in evolution? Absolutely. Do I believe in creationism? Absolutely. I'm a creationist. I see no difference in the two. Anytime something is created, it's created in its very most primitive form, and it has to evolve to its a complex potential possibility. The car you drove, trust me, that's not the car that Henry Ford, especially the car I saw you guys drive up in. That's not the car that Henry Ford invented. The horseless carriage, you know, of the devil is going to totally take over the world, you know, this new invention. The dishwasher you use in your house, your washer that you did your clothes, trust me, that's not the way it was created in the beginning, but it's evolved. It's been looked at, and it's been evolved into a more complex machine. So I don't understand why people would think that a creator would create things in and bring it into this very dense, slow dimension of third dimension at its full potential. There's no possible way it could be done. That's where you and I come in. That's where you and I come in. The Creator can create it, but it creates it perfectly. And then with the time it gets down from the higher frequencies of vibration where it is equal to itself, but it becomes more dense as steam becomes more dense to become water because the temperature gets what? Cooler. So the cooler the temperature gets, the molecules get more less space. You follow me? Steam is ethereal because it's got a lot of space in the water molecules. But when the water molecules start gathering together and become more dense, it creates a more dense substance called water. And then when the temperature gets really cold, past freezing, guess what? That steam that became water becomes trapped water. The cold universe of matter. The cold universe of matter. Maybe that's what they tried to mean when they said the fall of Adam. Adam actually fell into the cold universe of matter. So the time it goes through these different densities, it seems to lose something in the translation. Now, I want to make it clear, it doesn't lose anything within itself. Wholeness is still wholeness. What has been created is still perfect. But as it moves through the density of the subtle bodies, then it begins to take on all of the old beliefs, all of the old perceptions and experiences emotionally, all through the astral, the mental, the emotional, and finally it coalesces into a lesser blueprint than the blueprint that created it. And that's called the etheric blueprint. Everybody follow me? That's your etheric blueprint. That's the blueprint that keeps creating a cancer in a liver when the liver creates every 6 weeks. Because it's in the etheric blueprint. But when you go up into the higher frequencies, steam is still steam in the higher, even though it's not still steam in the lower. Now it's taken on a different form of water, but it's still steam. It's still H2O, right? You can't. I don't care what form it's in or how dense or not dense it is. H2O is H2O. So I don't care if wholeness becomes trapped in matter, it still holds its perfect vibration at all points. And that's why there's such a need for tuning up and changing the vibratory frequency so that we can move back to where the original blueprint. You can see you have two blueprints. You have a perfect blueprint. It's called the catheteric. It's crowned. We're crowned with that. That was what we were crowned with in creation. The Creator crowned us at the crown chakra and put in and said, I'm going to give you and extend the perfect blueprint in which I created you. I'm going to pass to you. Didn't it make sense, you that are parents here? How could you have a child and not pass to them the ability to also form children? You can't say, I'm going to have a child, but I'm going to have a child that can't have another child. The way you reproduce them has to be passed on to them to reproduce themselves. And you know what? Sometimes you reproduce these little beautiful children and they're so in it and they're so sweet and you think, oh, I'm going to have the best kid in the world and I'm the best mom and I'm going to raise them right and they're going to be wonderful. Then they hit 14, 15, 16 years old and you're going, whoops. Because now they're starting to use their ability to form and to create their own life. And sometimes it's not the way you created them. But the ability is always there. Always there. It's been passed on. That's all you can do as a parent. So you that beat yourself up about how your kids turned out, let me tell you, your job was pretty much done when you produced them and formed them. And then in the early stages did all you could do to instill whatever principles you believe in. And some of the principles you believed in may not be exactly the right principles for them at all. And that's where rebellion starts. And the thing we forget is we've been there. That's the thing I don't get about parents that talk about, oh my God, I didn't raise my child to be like this and to take drugs and to do this. And we forget about in our own way how rebellious we were. I was my own person very young. I did not follow my family tribal tree in any way. I was a rebellious kid because I had an early sense of self. Self meaning that part that came through them, not from them. So please remember why I'm saying this, but somebody here needs to remember your child did not 100% come from you. There's an aspect of your child that came through you that does not even belong to you. They're not even your child. They are the child of this universe. And I think mothers have evolved that, you know, protective thing that's so strong in the evolutionary process that I think you mothers have the most difficult time of letting go of that and honoring that aspect. I don't know why I got into that, but anyway. So basically what I'm attempting to say is we have a lot in which to explore, a lot of uncharted territory in which we can begin to look at. I loved it. Thank you for dancing and getting up. I do not know you, I don't think, but I like you a lot because you're our kind of people because you moved.
You'd like me.
Well, I love that because I think we need movement. I think we need to fire up the ice. Fire up the ice. And that's why I love drumming, and that's why fire ceremonies and things like that have become so important. But one thing we can do is to get up and move with the music. The music is the most powerful tools there is to bring us into alignment with our higher true spiritual self. And by moving, by dancing, by clapping, by moving in, and letting it move into the cellular level, we'll tune our bodies up and wonderful things can take place and basically happen. Well, what interesting times we live in. I brought something you might want to know and you might not want to know, but I found it in the paper flying here yesterday on the plane. Maya calendar goes beyond 2012. Newly discovered wall writings found the frame Mayan culture obsession with cycles of time show that the calendar that looks to the future well beyond 2012, the year when the vanishing civilization is being told, is not written at all in these tablets. So don't be running your credit cards up and thinking it's all going to be over in December. I think I would use a little common sense to realize. But this does not concern me. And let me tell you why. Because I don't go by time. Time is an illusion in itself. Time is relative. Now that's good and that's not good. But where it is good is that we are creating time. And if enough people, which are millions of people worldwide, are looking to this time around December 20th, 2012 for a shift, that's what's going to cause the shift. The shift ain't going to cause the people. The people, the conscious, are going to cause this shift. And that's why I followed this consciousness of the Mayan idea of the calendar ending. Not because I knew if it was true or wanted to believe in it. I didn't want to analyze it. But I wanted to follow consciousness. Evolution has been a slow, slow thing. Ever since creation happened, evolution has been very slow until the early development of consciousness. Consciousness is a rather new thing. If you really study the main history of human beings from the evolutionary point, you will see that it was millions of years that human beings pretty much went by instinct and by their own inner ability to be guided from their own inner recesses that they had. But when consciousness came into play, then consciousness has become the thing that begins to drive the process. If you stop and think what has happened in just the last century, in the last 100 years, if you stop and think what's happened in the last 50 years, well, if you'll even stop and think what's happened in the last 10 years, or what's happened in the last few months in the sense of how fast we are evolving things and creating things and moving things along. Why? Because consciousness itself is becoming more prevalent. We're becoming more conscious of consciousness. And the more conscious we are of consciousness, then consciousness becomes the driver toward moving us toward our destiny. So I'm going to go by the old saying that says, no man knows the hour nor the day of this coming. But it does say, even though we don't know an hour or day, we can know the season. And the whole world knows that something is happening. And that we're all living in the seasoning of a time of change. And I don't even like the word change. I think change is too linear. I think we have to look at words like transistence and transformation and higher words and the word metamorphos or metamorpho, which is the word that's translated change in the New Testament when it says that we will not all be ignorant, but we shall not all sleep, thank God, but we shall be changed in a atomos moment, Greek atomos, which we get the word atom. We will be changed in the atoms in the twinkling of an eye. The twinkling of an eye. I didn't say the twinkling of your eyes. So you're not going to bring this in and seduce it with your eyes fluttering. It's in the twinkling of an eye. And I'll tell you, the eye is your inner eye, which is going to be, at the cellular level, your pineal gland. The minute the pineal gland is fully charged and turned on and tuned in, you're going to be able to see what is already there that you've been trying to create. And I'm back where I was last night again. I'm back to where it is. I can't hear everything that's going on within very many feet of this place, but it doesn't mean it's not going on. There's not people talking. There's people. There's noise going on. I can't hear it because I can't hear it. Does it not exist? I can't see what people are doing down the street. But should I say that does not exist because I cannot see it? I cannot smell the cooking for lunch that people are doing right around here, but should I say it does not exist? And this is where faith becomes a great element. I've tried to take faith out of the context of religious dogma. Basically, religious dogma asks for you for blind belief. Just believe it blindly. Faith is not blind. Faith is not belief. Faith is an inherent ability to see through illusion and appearance and behold that is real behind the symbol. It is an inherent ability from the higher atmosphere of our minds to see beyond all appearance, all illusion. And in some energetics, we go on and say, and to see the hidden agenda of people, places, and things. That's what each one is taught when they're opening the third eye and working with that tuning fork for the third eye. They are taught how to open a person's inherent ability to see through all illusion in the world of appearance, to see the hidden agenda of people, places, and things. And then we put it on the right side of the brain and the left side of the brain, and we ask for the removal of any old beliefs or unbeliefs that is no longer serving that person in the highest way of their own inherent Christ intelligence. And we ask those things to be removed from the neurons, creating new neurons to receive new higher information from fifth dimension. That's a mouthful, isn't it? Come to a class, you'll learn that. You'll learn all about it. And it's very important information. Certainly what I do in my workshops is not just about using tuning forks. The tuning fork is the tool. And the tuning fork is important for those who are practitioners and who are looking to use something in their arsenal of modalities. But actually, I'm teaching much a bigger picture than tuning forks. But the tuning forks is the point of contact in which I'm being able to speak and minister to people who would never come to a meeting like this. Never. Never come. So you got to use different ways in which to connect to different people. So the light workers that we talk about stepping forward, the 144,000. If you've heard about the 144,000, if you ever had a Jehovah's Witness come knock on your door, you've heard about the 144,000. The 144,000 comes from a scripture in the book of Revelations that talks about how 144,000 will come forth and sing the song that no man could ever learn. Now, they've taken that literally to believe 144,000 people. So they're working their tails off to try to get into that place where they can have the seat closest to the throne of Jehovah when they get to heaven. But in looking at that, after studying numbers and after studying Pythagorean numerology and whatever, I begin to realize these numbers have numeral codes to them. And I begin to count that up. 1 plus 4 is 5, plus 4 is 9. 0009. So 9 is the root number of the 144,000. Now I know, and all of you know who know anything at all about numerology, know that 9 is completion. Now a lot of us sitting here from the biblical teaching was taught 7 is completion. That is totally wrong. 7 is a wonderful number in its own way. All the numbers are wonderful. But 7 used by Christendom is a deceptive number. Unfortunately, they used it in a deceptive way because they picked that number from the superstition of the time in which things were written down, which was a belief there was only 7 planets. Therefore, because there were 7 planets, they thought God's done. He has set down, it's over. The Bible's been written. God is in retirement. Got old. Sent his son down for a while. Son couldn't take it very long. Got out at 33 years old. Said, Holy Ghost, you go down and try a while. I can't do nothing with any of these people. So God's just kind of retired on the back acres somewhere, and that's just kind of the bizarre picture sometimes that I know I got, and maybe other people did too. So, what was I saying before that? Somebody help me. So seven became the number of completion to a lot of us. We thought, which is extremely a biblical number of completion, absolutely. Because we say 7 days of creation. Wrong. Even literally 6 days of creation and then rest. So there wasn't 7 days of creation. There was 6 days of creation from that literalist point of view. I won't get into that, but you have to ask, what is a day? You know, a day is not a 24-hour day. It's an entire eon period of time, which could be and translated into millions and millions of years in our time. But anyways, nine. And of course, real quickly, a little lesson would be 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. When you get to 10, 1 plus 0 is a 1 again, so you can only go to 9. And then you've spiraled to another 1. 11 is 2. 12 is 13. And so on and so forth. So 9 is the completion of the cycle. So I thought, all right, there is a critical mass of beings that are going to come to the 9 vibration of completion. So I ask, completion of what? And I'm very challenged by this, but this is what was said to me. These people have completed all their incarnations in the third, fourth dimension. There'll be no more incarnating back into the third dimension, for they've completed all their incarnations. Now, if you're a person who don't believe in more than one lifetime, then I don't care which way you believe, there's no more here. There's no more repeating here. It's over. So there's a completion. So 144,000 are a people who have completed all their incarnations within the third dimension. These people then become what I call the people of the curve. The people of the curve. If you took third, fourth dimension as a timeline, it would be linear like this. So you've been maybe born, died, reborn, died, come back. And you dealt with third dimensional karma, we call it, cause and effect. So if there is actually something to the idea of reincarnation, it's been for the purpose of working out what you did here. You have to try to work out in this one. And if you work in this one, then the next lifetime will be a little higher lifetime and whatever. That's the whole purpose of it. Now, I'm going to say something really crazy here, but the real truth is, at another level, I don't believe that. There's a certain level of me that does not believe in reincarnation as a reality, but I do believe in reincarnation as a part of the dream that we talked about last night. We talked about the dream last night. We're living in the world, in the stupor, in the dream. And in the dream, everything that is already done vertically has to be played out linear. And the way I explain that, if I was Steven Spielberg or I was some great writer, and all of a sudden I created a storyline for my next movie, or I'm an author and I've created my next book, that means in me right now is the beginning, how it's going to proceed, and how it's going to end is all living in me right here. Now, let's say I have that. So I've got my storyline. And I've got to tell that storyline in an hour and a half, 2 hours in a movie. Now, how could I tell you the storyline as I have it in me, which is this way? I've got it all. Mm-hmm. Means I'm going to have to lay it down, and I'm going to have to put it in frames, in linear, so that you can see what is in me vertically. I can only relate to you in linear. Mm-hmm. So think of the frames of a movie as it plays, is showing the linear. So in the linear, yes, I do embrace the idea of incarnating more than one time. I would think it'd be totally ridiculous to give you one time. I think there's something wiser than that, to realize you're going to get this in 70, 80 years, because you just are. I know people just beginning at 80 years old even begin to get it. And I don't think you have to get it going through the tunnel and go, I could have had a V8. Or you're going to the other side. So I think you can get it here, but I think there is no more space left here in this third, fourth dimension of space-time. We are taught that when things come to a certain place of its density and heaviness, all things curve, because all things follow the motion and the movement of the universe, which is circular or spiral. Everything spirals. Everything spirals. I've got to have you below the... We'll do it at the end. How about that? Spirals. So, as we move here, now here's the literalist fundamentalist. Into the world, into the world. It's all over, into the world. Rapture, up, straight up, straight up. Well, I don't see it that way. I see that as we end toward the end, as planets, suns, stars, and all planetary bodies all curve. True? The moon is round, the sun is round. Everything that you're going to see out there takes on a roundness based upon its mass. Makes it how large it is or how small it is based upon mass. So as we are kind of bottoming out, and that's the thing that's kind of ironic about spirituality, that, boy, talk about a surprise and a shock. I thought spirituality was up, 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 better, 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 better. You know, back years ago, I just thought each more spiritual thing I learned and did, and the more I meditated and the more that I did, the better I was going to get. And actually, I started getting worse and worse and worse. That was tough. I thought something's not right here. But it really was right. This is the way it does in the sense of spirituality bringing you into the place of such density for the purpose of the curve. So as you move here and things begin to curve, third, fourth, I call this fifth. So fifth is a curve. That means that you have to become more open. You have to become more vulnerable in a way. You have to learn how to move with the unknown. You have to be able to bend with the winds of change, just as trees bend their branches at the winds of a storm. And those who bend are not snapped off, most likely, but they survive that time. So all of our lives are feeling this bend. Now, once we get into this, then we're caught into how energy moves, and I talked about this last night, but energy is going to move pretty much like this. And it's going to spiral and spiral, calling what we call the golden mean ratio or the Fibonacci pathway or purpose. And I know people are totally don't know what Fibonacci is, but you need to know, and I will be doing some things on that. I have started on the internet talking about this very sacred thing that we do not follow in the West. That's one thing that has kept us imprisoned, is a space. The space that we create in the West is boxed space. How many rooms have you been in lately that have been round? They're out there, but there's not many. Most of all the architecture of the homes you live in and the place you live in are going to be very sharp male type of rooms. It's not the softness of feminine more goddess energy, but is to remind us, whether consciously or subconsciously, we are in a box. That's the architecture. Even most churches in the West are boxed in churches. If you go to Europe, you're going to see arches. Beautiful arches all over. Guess what? Those arches are not just there to be pretty. They are there to be proportional. By using the golden mean, the art in Europe. People love to look at the art of Da Vinci. Now, to the brain and to the unlearned person of art, who wants to look at that art? Because it's just pretty bizarre. But people look at it because it makes them feel good when they look at it, because he did all this painting using the golden mean, phi ratio, and Fibonacci series in his art. All that art is in proportion. You sit in those churches, and people say, oh, I love to sit in the church because I feel the presence of God. No, they feel alignment. They feel themselves, reproportion themselves from the external world that is out of alignment into an alignment with the center of their own reality, and they get a sense of a presence. So as far as architecture, that has held us. Now, I know we want to look at the government. We want to look at, you know, who's controlling the banking system and all of that. And that's fine. But it's the more subtle things you need to look at and realize that is also holding us. So architecture. Music is another thing. And this is a hard one, because who doesn't love music? We were raised and born in America. Most of us are in the Western world, and we love Western type music because we were raised on it. It gives us memories, some sad, some happy. But when I hear Western music, I never hardly listen to Western music without an emotion or a thought. Now, I happen to like 70s music. So I keep my satellite radio in my car on 70s music, because that was a fun time for me, and I love 70s music. I like disco music, and I mean, I like, you know, I like 50s, 60s, all music, and the baby boomers, which are just so huge right now, are such a huge market for past music, because we all want to think about we're a little younger and a little thinner, had a little more energy. I mean, who doesn't want to go there? I love that music. It just takes me back to 77, 78, and I was just dancing and discoing and a little rocking, and wherever I was at the time, and I was having a good time, and I don't think I could do that now with my back issue, but I can go there through the music. I can hear music and think about, oh, yes, I remember so-and-so. I just met so-and-so, and I just, oh, I was so in love. Then I hear another song, and I go, ooh. Oh, that was breaking up that year. I was so sad. I was so depressed that year. This is what goes on. Because we use something that is called 12-tone temperament closed music. I know I do this a lot. A lot of you say, I wish you'd do something different. I'll tell you what, I'm not going to do anything different until we get what we've been talking about for 30 years. Some of us. Till I see the manifestation of it. C. That's an octave. If I do all of these black and white notes, that's 12 notes. It's called 12-tone temperament. Da, da. Closed. I go C again. Another closed octave. Another closed octave. Another closed octave. Another closed octave. Pythagoras came along 2,500 years ago, 5 years before the one we call Yeshua or Jesus came along. 500 years before, with gazing into the stars, into the heavens, he realized that everything, if it's spinning, it's got to be making some kind of sound or music, which we know is true. I was very blessed several years ago, being in the sound work, for someone to bring me all of the CDs of NASA, of all of the explorations that we have made, the Explorer, and so on and so forth, over 5 billion miles. in these series of tapes, because they thought they were going to go out there and go through empty space between planets. And they went to and moons and whatever, and they found out there was no empty space because everything was connected by sound. They didn't know that, but they felt to put out their microphones and to record whatever was out there. And these CDs are those sounds. And they're the sounds of moons bouncing off of planets, planets and planets. And it sounds like Tibetan bowls, and it is the most amazing sound you have ever heard. Talk about some powerful meditation. It's to meditate to the pure sounds of the great sky, of the upper atmosphere, what we call Father Sky in Native American terminology. So he came along and he said, I want to get heaven. That's what he called heaven. You got to understand, that was the first spirituality. It was not some spiritual realm of some spiritual Disneyland off somewhere in another dimension. It actually was, it was the stars, the moon. These are the things, that's what the Mayans watched. All the indigenous people spent hours and years and decades and centuries watching the sky. They built towers, just towers, so they could tell when certain things would change and constellations would change. And they would write this down. That's why they know so much about that. And then Christianity came along and so spiritualized it into something beyond ourselves. But that was heaven. And he called it the music of the spheres. You can look it up, the music of the spheres. But what an intelligence that 2,500 years ago he understood. I used to carry a tube with me to workshops when I started Soul Energetics. And I'd take that tube and I'd go like this. Pretty soon they go, woo, 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 woo. Just to show them that the movement of something going around at some point creates a sound. So planets spinning, heavenly bodies spinning, it's all sending out music. And he said, I want that. How do I get that music down here to earth? How do I bring heaven to earth? And he had this tremendous insight. He said, I won't close my octave. I'll open the door of the octave. So he played on his instrument, probably a lyre, it's called, monostring. Instead of going, now your brain's fine with that, isn't it? Because you've downloaded this sound. Sounds totally in harmony, everything is just perfect. Do. A deer, a female deer, ray, a drop of golden sun, me and name of God. But what if I skip over the octave and did? Now feel your brain. What does your brain do? It goes, I don't know about that. That don't sound complete to me. How about this? Ah, complete, yeah. Oh yeah, complete. Now this is a cool one. This is called a fourth. Now you, and I'm not trained in music. I play by ear, so I'm not a music connoisseur. But look, 1, 2, 3, 4, C, D, E, F. If you play the fourth note, F and C, you have a fourth. That's a fourth. Go up to G, it's a fifth. Nothing wrong with that. In fact, that's a powerful, powerful is the C and G. It's powerful. But what if I diminish the fifth to? The Catholic Church, many, many years ago, says we cannot play this, for this is the devil's interval. You can check me out and read this. This is called the devil's interval. And I'll tell you why. Because anything they said was the devil was something to empower the mass of the people. Using this particular sound, which we have in our tuning forks, opens a portal in the mind that begins to allow the mind to be empowered and to clear and cleanse the mind of guilt and fear. So when Pythagoras did this, and from here to here, between that C closing it to here, was called Pythagoras' comma. In the Bible, it's called "Who shall stand in the gap and make up the hedge?" But it overshot it and left the music open. Didn't shut it down, but opened the music. And when he began to play that music, people begin to be healed. And that's one of the beginnings of the Western, in the Western world. We have further indigenous people, Egyptians and so on and so forth. But in, for the Western, because we're built upon the Greek model. And have been. America, our universities, everything is from the Greek model. But I'll tell you what we're moving into is more the Egyptian model. And that's why there's what's called New Age, or well, that all of that has come basically as we move back and away from the Greek model to the Egyptian model. So when that was left open, the sounds of the spheres of the begin to come in through the music and begin to touch the people. So in the Western context, that was the beginning of what we call healing sound medicine. He happened to be a mathematician also, so he was able to figure this out mathematically. He was able to understand exactly how to basically use. What'd you bring me?
There's a C and a G there.
Oh, C and a G? Well, yeah, John Bellew talks. That's a
magic fifth.
That's the fifth. Excuse me, I'll be right back. I'll do this for you because you're sensitive. Now these are Pythagorean forks. They're not solfeggio, which is the next step beyond this. But this is the step between the boxed and the solfeggio forks. I'm not going to get into all that. So I can't talk anymore without bringing this in, because I think sound, vibration, light, and color is all going to play such an important part of creating the way that we can get through the door without physical death into the higher fifth dimension. And that's going to happen. Now some are choosing to go behind the veil and work with us, who are leaving their bodies in transitioning. That's fine too. But there is some of you sitting here that most likely have a contract, a code within you to be here and to actually experience this by breaking the death cycle. See, I think Heidi, Karen, and some of us years ago that talked about the immortality thing, I think we missed that. I don't think it's about really being immortal in our mortal body, but I actually think it was how the mortal body can make it through to the light body without physical death is the whole idea. We just didn't understand it well enough and deep enough. We didn't have this kind of information that we have today. But there will be 144,000 nine vibration critical mass light worker group that will make this transition, that will break the birth and death cycle completely in the third dimension. And at that point, of it will spiral and spiral and spiral and spiral in fifth dimension, sixth dimension, seventh dimension, eighth dimension, and on will all be in hyperspace, will all be accessible, no more in linear. There won't be 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and then 6. There'll be 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, so on and so forth. Now, what I want to tell you that's important, because I talk a lot about going through spiritual crises. And you got to go through it. And most all of you wouldn't be here probably if you wasn't going through it. I get worried about myself. I have days I get worried about myself because I can't remember anything. I can't remember somebody's name. I can't remember. I see somebody on TV and I can't remember their name. Oh, Tim, go get the computer. And he can look up everything. I go, oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. I have to get a computer to think for, to remember for me. To remember for me. But I can remember ontological recapitulating phylogeny. And I certainly use that every day many times. In Hot Springs, Arkansas, Walmart, I'm going to say, well, how's your ontological recapitulating phylogeny doing today? Trust me. I remember stuff that's totally irrelevant to third dimension, everyday, mundane communication. What's happening to me? That's the thing. It's almost frightening. And it's frightening because it's bringing up all my old fear. It's not making me afraid. It's my fear that is coming up. The last of my third dimensional fear within my story of incarnating in third dimension all has to come up and be released and changed into creative energy. The lead of fear has to become the gold of creativity. So I'm here, I hope that I can empower you and help you that what you're going through mentally, emotionally, and even physically is all very spiritual. You're in a spiritual crisis. The thing that you would dislike the most today that you wish you could get rid of is probably the most spiritual thing that's happening to you. It's not the part of your life that's all rosy and great and perfect and great. There's nothing spiritual about that. No, the spiritual part is the crises. What's breaking down? What's challenging you? What's pushing you? What is your evolutionary driver that's driving you out of the place of complacency? What has been placed in your life every day that you can't even get away from if you wanted to? Yourself? And to move it along, some of you even attracted some others into your life you can't get rid of.
Just like you. Yeah.
I won't go any further than that, but some of you got some issues that, you know, it's not going to matter. They're not going to go away because they're part of your bloodline or they're part of, they carry your name or whatever. I mean, they're just there. They're there. But they're there for a reason. Instead of feeling bad about it and how did I fail and I wish it wasn't this way and this is not the way it's supposed to be. It's about going beyond the five senses into that aspect of self that gives you insight and lets you see these are your new teachers. Getting passionate now. These are your new teachers. My teachers are very more physical. You know, with my back issues and all of that. And people laugh and make fun of me, which I don't mind because I run around all kinds of stuff. You know, both alternative, integrative, or medical. But I'm never sent to anybody. I don't care if it's an orthopedic surgeon, a neurosurgeon. I don't care if it's a Reiki person. I don't care if it's a massage person. I don't care what it is. I never leave there that I have not left a seed. The last doctor I went to is a very famous doctor in Little Rock, Arkansas, from California, just moved there. Had his tan and looking good, looking like California. So he looks at my MRI and whatever, and he's telling me this. I'm saying, but then now can I tell you? You're medically telling me what's going on. Let me tell you what's really going on. And he listened to me. And that's a miracle in itself.
Amen.
To get him to stay long enough to listen to you. But he was enamored with what I was saying to him. So he says, well, let me go do something. I don't know. Came back and he says, you're just really complicated. Like I've heard that for the first time in my life. But I'm saying everything that this is bringing me to, every person that it's drawing me to, everything that is happening in my life because of this is for a spiritual purpose. I would not have these opportunities. I would not have these connections if it wasn't for the challenges of my life. Moving to a rather small, I have to say city, because Hot Springs, even though it's like a town, it has a metropolitan feel to it because of the 3 to 5 million tourists that come there every year to the national park and the crystals and the bathhouses and the horse races and the casino. Hot Springs is cut between two mountain ranges. So it's very narrow. There's not a lot of streets to go this way. So it's like being in the middle of a big city some times of the year. Right now it's slow, which we all enjoy who live there, the slow times. But Donna and some of you that know me well know that I am a city boy. I've lived in high rises and penthouses and downtown, and I love the glamour of the lights and the whatever, and here I am living in this rather different type of small community. And I thought, what brought me here? What would bring me to a place that I actually, and I am at this point, rather happy living there? Happier than anywhere I've ever lived. I was not happy in Columbus. I was not happy in Dayton. I just was a terrible time for me. No connections, no people. And what I'm saying to you, ever since the events of my life, from say the last 5 years before, has all prepared me for that move. I've learned more patience. I've learned to be more settled. I've learned many things that makes me a candidate for the environment that I'm in at this time. And at the time, they were not pleasant things. But now, in retrospect, I look at them and I realize they were my teachers teaching me and preparing me and molding me. Preparing me for that phase of my life. Now, how long that goes on, I don't know. I hope for a while. I would love to not. I don't think I have many moves left in me. But I don't know. I really can't tell you. Because I am like the wind that listens to the trees. And when that wind blows, I go. Sometimes right or wrong, but there is no really wrong. Because even the rights. Can be made into the most spiritual, positive aspects of your life. So I'm just saying to you, if you're going through physical issues, maybe they're emotional, mental issues, what's happening? What do you hold on to? What will keep you out of the trappings of the first thing a doctor's going to do, and that's try to write you a prescription? They are fast on the draw. They'll have a prescription written before you get anything out of your mouth. Because they're working for that trip to the Bahamas. They think the answer is always an antidepressant or Cymbalta. That's the big one now they're pushing. It's everything. And then they get on television. Don't you love those advertisements?
Yeah, right.
They spend 10 minutes, 15 minutes telling you all the bad things it's going to, including death. Oh, that sounds good. That's exactly what I want. I don't like the fact that I can't remember names as well as I used to. I mean, it's a thing that's very strange to feel that way. So I have dug deeply, and I can only speak for myself. I'm really not trying to speak for all of you that are here. You have to really understand your own your own experience in this. But what I begin to realize is, if I'm to be a part of the nine vibration, the light workers, if that is my destiny, which I believe it to be, I'm working on knowing it, but I believe it. If you can't know, believe until you can know. Is that the way fifth dimension energy is going to come with its information, because photon light information, remember, it's not about just the light. Like you said, go to the light. Light. Light is enlightenment, which is information. And there's information that is trying to come into our third dimensional world that is not information that holds a third dimensional, fourth dimensional time space. So it's looking for what I call portals or pathways. You know, even the Bible talks a lot about gates around the city and Jesus coming through a gate. And there's a lot about gates. Gates around the city. The west gate, the east gate, this gate. Well, these are vibrational pathways that are opened up in third dimension so that fifth dimension energy can get in its most purest form. Now, if fifth dimensional energy goes through the third dimensional mindset of, say, religion or science, education, or any other, the systems, then it will take on the nature of that system. The system will take that information to fit the context of the construct of that system. And that's how things get inferior to what is created that way. So it has to come in its most pure way, just as it did 2,000 years ago, as far as I'm concerned. 2,000 years ago, Christ consciousness came into the third dimension and was available to us because of a portal. The portal being who we call Jesus or Yeshua. Now, if you can just for a moment take this whole Jesus thing out of Christianity, Jesus was not a Christian. Jesus never heard the word Christian in his entire life. People say to me, "Are you a Christian on the plane?" They go, "No, I'm not a Christian." "Why not?" "Well, God wasn't a Christian. Jesus wasn't a Christian. I thought I was in pretty good company." Then the book goes up and they start reading. Just another label. Another label the unbelievers gave to the believers. Called them Christians. Look at that bunch of weird old Christians over there. Happened in Antioch. Read it right in the Bible. The Bible's very clear to tell you the word Christian comes from the unbelievers to the believers. The followers of the Christ. But it wasn't Jesus. It was Jesus brought in the Christ. He was the human portal. But how did he get here? How did he get here and not go through? Oh, so much I could say here. How did he get here and not go through the processing that most souls go through when they incarnate through guarded portals into this planet? And I mentioned so often in the middle of the 80s, long before I came into here, and somebody gave me my first channeled book of channeling called Bringers of the Dawn. And I read that book, and here's Jesus channeling through this individual. I can't think of who wrote that or who it was. But it said, the main portals that we incarnate into this dimension are over Iraq, Kuwait, that whole Middle East, North Africa, the cradle of civilization. We always go back to that point. And that's not where it started. But something did start there. And that was the technology that knew how to dumb us down enough that we're not getting it in a lifetime, but getting it going through the tunnel. There is technology, I believe with all my heart. You can call it from another world, or you can call it from ETs. I don't care what your form to call it. But there is technology going on this planet that has been a way of dividing and conquering and controlling the masses. And I'm here to tell you the good news. They know their time is about up because we're about to reach the 144,009 vibration frequency that's going to cause the shift out of the control of a few over the many until we're going to share the glory of fifth dimension. I hold on to that vision. And you that are getting the information from David Wilcock, who's put his life online to tell us what's getting ready to happen to the Committee of 300 and the Trilateral and to the Bilderbergs and all these people that meet and set all these things. And they've created these places for themselves and everything. He says it's not going to happen because consciousness is going to change. And at that moment, they will be completely disempowered of their plan and their purpose to set up their own world order. Surprise! That's the word for 2012 we got. Surprise! Expecting it could happen. 2012 could be the year. And it can be the year of consciousness comes to the place in which it should be to repattern this thing. And I appeal to all of us. I don't care how busy your life is. I don't care how much what is going on. You have to take space for yourself to get quiet and to be a human portal for this new energy and information to come through. You may not even know what came through, but it's been in, comes through you and into the collective unconsciousness. Oh, my goodness. Let me tell you, when this Christ consciousness comes to normalize itself and to change the vibration of third, fourth dimension frequency, it's going to come like a thief in the night. I've always been fascinated why it says the coming of Christ was going to be as a thief in the night, because if the man in the house knew, if the strong man knew, he'd be ready for him. So I'm telling you, this thing can't come through the front door of culture. It can't be done by all religions getting together and talking it over. It can't be accomplished by all the leaders of every country politically coming together and say, we need to do this and we need to do that. I mean, there is so much corruption and greed that has come through these people in the body politic. And that's what their point is. Their point is to get all the toxic stuff. You know, don't be so tough on them. This is all in the big picture. It's all working. It's all coming to surface. All the greed. They're the part of the body politic to get it. Let them have it. So I said, this thing's going to come through the back door of consciousness. It's going to come through the unconsciousness to the consciousness. And that brings me back to the speaking in tongues. I just had a tremendous call from John Bellew. You that know who I'm talking about. John Bellew is the master of tuning forks. Makes all of our forks, Biosonics in New York City. He is a worldwide known musician. He's a tremendous guy and very successful in the tuning fork business for all of us. Makes the best product out there. I don't talk to him often. We mostly deal with his offices, which he's gotten so big that he's turned it all over to a company to do his tuning forks, and we just order things. But he called me the other day, after all these years. Now, we had him as a speaker at the retreat one year in Bergamo. But he said, I had to talk to you. Now, I suspected John's background was similar to mine in the fact that he apparently has come out of the spiritual, charismatic at some point. I don't know, but he's very, very diverse in Eastern and many, many persuasions of things. But he said, I just had to share this with you, that my workshops, which are quite successful across the world, Switzerland and everywhere where he teaches, but he said, everywhere I'm teaching and I use the forks and have them ohm, they're all going into tongues. He said they are actually falling over the tables and going into tongues everywhere, all my workshops. And I just told the group in Hot Springs, because I've got a group of non-tongue-talking people, let me tell you. And I said, I've held back long enough, but I tell you, the Spirit's getting ready to talk to your spirit. There is a language of the Spirit that's going to bypass belief systems and resistance, and it's going to speak directly to your spirit, and then your spirit's going to teach you what it means from the inside of yourself so that you stay empowered and you do not put your power on me or any other speaker, because I'm not here to be your guru or to be your whatever you want me to be. I'm not going to have that. I'm going to empower you and tell you. So if I get up here and start talking and then I start going in tongues, I want you to be prepared for it, because I am speaking directly to your spirit. But John gave me that push. I was just ready to stand up for it. And here the universe put John, of all people, to call me out of nowhere to tell me this is what is beginning to happen. Planetary Pentecost. That's what Barbara Marcus Hubbard calls it. I know I got to be quiet here. I'm just good to feel inspired today, doesn't it? Everybody take a deep breath.
Refreshed was the word.
That's right. Take a deep breath. Take a deep breath and just breathe in the presence that we create here today. So we do live in interesting times. Be prepared. Things are going to be a little unusual. There's almost a sovereignty that's coming. A sovereignty that's getting ready to take place, because things have to be finished and accomplished in this generation, in this lifetime. Free will has been the driver, but I've been shown in the very last of the season of the shift, there's a time in which all of our contracts and agreements before we incarnated is all activated in spite of us. In other words, you're going to fulfill those contracts in spite of you, but you're the one who created the contract. So you're not being victimized by anything out there. It is the aspect of yourself. You said, if I do not get to hear by free will in the last lifetime in third dimension, and I need to be here, then this is what you can do, and this is who you can send into my life, and this is whatever it takes, get me here. So that's why you're going to feel like you're in runaway spirituality, because things are going to happen so quick, so fast, and so powerful, like, oh my God, I can't take any more. I like to say that these are the cramming for the finals to graduate God's School 101 Earth, third dimension. Already, I sense in many of you that are in here that there's an inner working about your priorities. Working with what you're attached to. You're going to be driven to the attics, the attic of the mind and the attic in your home. All of the relics that you kept from grandma and grandma's grandma that you'll never use is going to get, something's going to come on you, and you're going to get up maybe in the middle of the night. I don't know, but you're going to start clearing things out.
I hope it's soon.
You're going to let it go. Then you're going to go down in the basements. Yeah, in the basements and your garages where you got junk and stuff stashed because you think you might need it someday. Something's going to come over you. The spirit is going to be so great. You're just going to get there and start just cleaning it out and clearing it out, creating more space, more space, more space, letting go of the old relics and the old things that you've held on to.
Relationships.
Yes, relationships. Absolutely. Clear it out. It's all about clearing. You that do tuning forks, you that get to people who do tuning forks, all of you should be doing clearings, clearings, clearings. That's the name of the game. Help people clear. People are clearing in spite of themselves, but they've got stuck stuff and they don't know how to get it fully out. And if you will take the tuning forks and create the vibrational pathways between these things, and work it through their energy bodies and through their chakras and create these sacred intervals between these forks, and people will literally let go as easy as the exhale of their breath. Doesn't have to be hard. Doesn't have to go on and on for weeks and months. But it can actually be done in the twinkling of an eye. The minute that the door is open. The minute the code to the gate is used and the gate of consciousness is open. Everything that is no longer serving that person for their higher good or their divine purpose of the soul will be released within the exhale of the breath. Take a deep breath with me. Hold in the still point. Drop it. Seemed like you worked a little harder for that in-breath because you was going against gravity. Come on. Work. Hold in the still point. Open your mouth. Oh, yeah. Effortlessly. You exhaled and effortlessly. Can you let go? And I ask today that every one of us that are gathered here will become conscious breathers. We will notice the times that we seem to breathe a little deeper in the inhale because we know we're taking in that new energy that is coming. And it's staying because we made room by the exhale of letting go of something else. My intention for us all today is that we continue to clear, that we go into a clearing mode for our life, clearing the clutter in our minds, our attics, our basements, our lives, our relationships, all the family drama. Work with your first chakra. Get it together, for God's sake. And the first chakra keeps pulling us in. I've never seen so much family drama in my life. Oh, I get calls and I cannot believe. I got a call from an old friend another day in Little Rock that I know. Her daughter's suing her. She's suing an old friend of a whole friend of ours is suing her, and she's suing the company. The company's suing, you know who I'm talking about too, probably. That whole bunch over there. I never heard so many people suing each other in the family, out of the family, friends carrying on. I just went for an hour. I just held the phone out here like this. And then get another call, just one after another, about what's going on. Let it go. Follow your heart. And that's the best thing you can do for those kids. That's the best thing you can do for the other family members. That's the best thing you can do for everyone, including yourself, is to let go and let everything find its place. Larry showed us that beautifully last night. The letting go of that pendulum and it'll find its center. Can't help but to do it. But we mentally are trying to, where do I belong? Where do I need to be? What do I need to do? Mentally. And you just let it go. And the heart will center exactly in alignment to all spirituality. We just ask for the guidance of the Holy Spirit to move with us as we conclude this meeting this morning. Continue to work with us and bring what has been said into fruition into our lives. For it's no accident who have been gathered here today. We've been drawn and we've been brought for whatever reason, whatever purpose. And we know that that which has begun in us today will come to its full fruition of the arrival of the Christ consciousness all the way to the cellular level. And so it is.